Praised be Jesus Christ. I must explain that through some mistake, the gospel reading, which is a very beautiful one and on which I would love to preach, is not the gospel reading on which I prepared my homily, which was the classic text from the chapter 19 of the Gospel according to St. Matthew on marriage. But in the text of my homily, I quote extensively from the text, which I'm sure is also very familiar to you. And we put all of this in our Lord's Sacred Heart, about which we have just heard so beautifully in the reading from the Gospel according to St. John. The teaching of Christ regarding holy matrimony contained in today's Gospel could not be clearer. It is also courageous, for it was given at a moment when the Pharisees were clearly trying to trap our Lord in his speech so that they could denounce him. Let us carefully examine his teaching, which is at the very heart of our faith and life. First of all, our Lord makes it clear that he is teaching the natural moral law, the law written by God on every human heart. He teaches what nature itself requires of us. What he teaches is a mirror of the goodness, beauty, and truth with which God has created us and our world. When the Pharisees asked whether it is lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause whatever, Christ recalled to their minds the two accounts of creation of the creation of man in the book of Genesis, the second of which we have already heard proclaimed in today's first reading. Have you not read that from the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, man must not separate. Christ reminded the Pharisees of the objective order which God has written into nature from the beginning. It is an order which does not change with the changes of time and place, as the Pharisees, recalling the Mosaic practice of permitting divorce, suggested that it can. It is, in fact, a great and imperishable gift, for it is a share in the very life and love of God. In response to the Pharisees' invocation of the authority of Moses to justify the practice of granting divorce, Christ made clear that Moses was responding to the hardness of heart which refuses to receive the teaching of the moral law and to conform one's life to it. Hardness of heart takes the divine gift of marriage and distorts it with selfishness and sin. Christ once again evoked the natural moral law with the words, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so." In other words, it is clear that the practice of Moses did not fully respect God's plan for marriage from the beginning, and that Christ, God the Son incarnate, purifies the Mosaic practice, restoring marriage to its original holiness. Christ restores marriage to its truth, for if a man is validly married to a woman, then it is impossible for him to marry another woman as long as the marriage bond endures. To do otherwise is a contradiction of the truth and therefore gravely sinful. Christ then made clear the meaning of the divine natural law regarding the indissolubility of marriage and of its violation through the practice of divorce. He declared simply, "I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, and marries another, commits adultery." Marriage is a participation in the faithful and enduring love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is in its essence a faithful and enduring bond. If a man is bound in marriage to a spouse, even if the spouse has abandoned him, salvation consists in fidelity to the existing marriage bond, and he cannot pretend to establish another. His calling is to seek the salvation of the partner, even if he can do so only by praying for her. To comport oneself in a marital way with another woman is adultery, which the Church has always understood to be among the gravest of sins. The teaching of our Lord regarding holy matrimony is demanding. It does not permit compromises or accommodations. Clearly, the disciples understood the true meaning of Christ's teaching on marriage, for they immediately observed, "If that is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." Our Lord responded by assuring the disciples that he not only restores marriage to its original beauty, but also gives the grace to those called to the married life so that they may live the truth of their conjugal union. Not all can accept this word, but only those to whom it is granted. If the married give their hearts to our Lord, if they overcome the hardness of heart, which is a contradiction of marital love, then he never fails to pour forth divine love into their hearts in abundance. It is the divine love of which their marriage is a sign in the world. Today, as at other times in the history of man, hardness of heart would once again distort, disfigure, and attempt to destroy the divine gift of holy matrimony. The contraceptive mentality, no-fault divorce, pornography on the internet, sexual promiscuity, gender theory, and now the legally sanctioned denial of the very nature of marriage as the faithful, lifelong, and procreative union of one man and one woman are manifestations of how hardened our hearts have once more become. Sadly, the hardness of heart has also entered into the Church and is presently manifesting itself in a great confusion regarding the indissolubility of marriage and the impossibility of receiving the sacraments for those living in irregular unions. There is also the discussion of so-called positive elements in homosexual liaisons and in cohabitation outside of marriage, as if there could ever be anything positive about mortal sin. Likewise, too, there is a loss of faith in the grace of chastity, which Christ pours forth into the lives of the married, purifying and strengthening them to live the truth of their faithful, lifelong, and procreative love. These worrisome situations in the world and in the Church, however, must not become causes for doubt and discouragement. They must not confuse us regarding the love which we must have for sinners, even while we abhor the sin which they commit. Christ remains always true and generous in his love. Superabundant grace never ceases to flow into our hearts from his glorious pierced heart. Before the truly formidable challenges to Christian life in the world today, let us give our hearts more and more into the Sacred Heart of Jesus, who inspires us to pray and to do penance, to study our faith, and to give a courageous account of it to others, and to engage ourselves in the apostolate, all on behalf of marriage and its most beautiful flower, the family. Let us now lift up our hearts, one with the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to the glorious pierced heart of Jesus, ever open to receive our hearts, most especially through the Eucharistic sacrifice, by which he makes present anew his sacrifice on Calvary. Let us give him our hearts, so that he may heal them of all sin and inflame them with divine love. Only in the heart of Jesus do we discover the truth about marriage and the family. Only in the heart of Jesus do we find the grace to serve faithfully that truth as it is safeguarded and promoted by the Church's teaching and discipline. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, vessel of justice and love, have mercy on us. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Virgin Mother of God and Queen of the Family, pray for us. Saint Joseph, Pillar of Families, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.